begin a new series, a small little three-part series, based on a New Testament book. It's actually, you might not even call it a book. You might call it a little postcard that was written thousands of years ago. But as we look at this little postcard, we're going to look at Paul and the kind of ministry he did in people's lives. And it's really going to be divided into three parts. And he just is going to do some amazing things through this this little book. Step into a situation in that day and that time was really volatile, and I'll explain that in just a few minutes, and very difficult. And you're dealing with believers on both sides of this, and you're dealing with a believer coming to Christ that has made some mistakes in his past, and how do we treat them? How does he work with both? I'm sorry, how does he work with all the believers? It's just an amazing, amazing little story. Let me start out by saying this. Paul, in the book of Acts, the New Testament book of Acts, which records the history of the church, the starting of the church, and really church planting, went on great missionary journeys. He was on his third missionary journey. He was in Rome. And he was under house arrest. And he was talking to guards. And what would he do with a guard that was handcuffed to him? Well, he would do, after they talked about the weather and the latest things at the forum, they would talk about Christ. And it's interesting, these guards were handcuffed to him for 8 hours. He had a very captive audience, and so he was in Rome waiting for a trial that he had requested to appear before the governor, to actually appear before Caesar. And he had led a number of guards to Christ. He was in a house, so they were just chained to him, but he did have freedom in the house. And he is our first character. The second character is a slave by the name of Onesimus. And Onesimus worked for an owner, and at some point, he ran. And he tried to escape from his owner, and he ended up in Rome. He ended up in a place where he would blend in with the other millions of people. Now, when he left, he stole things. He took some things in order to pay for his journey and to do that. And in the providence of God, this is not something that would happen without God's hand in it, that slave Onesimus ended up in the house where Paul was at. And Paul could see people and talk to people, and he would do that often. And guess what? Paul led him to Christ. And this slave then began to talk about more of his life and explain it. And all of a sudden, Paul understood that this slave was a runaway and that he was from an area that Paul was familiar with, and more than that, a city that Paul was familiar with, and more than that, a group of people that were dear to Paul's heart that knew him. And the plot thickens. He has done these things. He has broken the law as a runaway slave. He has stolen from his master. And now he's half a world away, so to speak. And he becomes a believer in Christ. Paul is going to get involved in a very difficult situation. But it gives us kind of a model. It gives us a framework to work from concerning the kind of ministry we need to be involved in people's lives. You see, the hard thing about this is with a runaway slave, it was not good, especially if they were caught. At the least, they could take a brand with the letter F, F meaning fugitivus or a fugitive, and brand their forehead. That might be the best he could hope for in many situations. Could be beaten, maimed, crippled, could be killed. Now, He ran away. He stole. The penalty was severe. Paul understands this. Paul writes a letter. And in this letter, we're going to see some things that will help us understand the kind of ministry God wants us to have. I've entitled this New Millennium Ministry. New Millennium Ministry, the greatest part. This is going to be part one. We also have part two and part three coming out of this little postcard in the New Testament. All right, so let's look at some initial observations to tie into the greatest part of ministry. Let's begin then, obviously, at verse 1, as Paul is now writing back to the family he knows. Verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. So Timothy was with him at times, and he's writing to his brother. To who? To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. And so he's writing to Philemon, a dear friend in the Lord and a fellow worker for the cause of Christ. And Paul cared for Philemon. On his missionary journey, this is how they probably came to faith in Christ. I'm sure it is. And in doing that, they had become friends, not only outside of the Lord, so to speak, but also in the Lord. And their fellowship was with the Lord together. To Apphia, our sister, to Acrippus, our fellow soldier, and the church that meets in your home. To Apphia is Philemon's wife. Acrippus is their son. And guess what? They had a church that met in their home. This was an amazing thing. The church, a house that contained a church, and ministry would go on there. And it was a center where people would come and know Christ and grow in their walk with Christ. Verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting. Only true peace is experienced after God's grace. Look at the order here. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you'll ever have peace is, first of all, experiencing God's grace in your life. Then following that comes peace. All right, verse 4 and verse 5. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. What a great way to start. Saying, you know, I can't get you out of my mind. I think about you, and more than that, I pray for you. And Paul thanks God for Philemon. Paul prays regularly and faithfully for him. And verse 5, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, their faith in God and their love for other people, these people were model church folk, so to speak, church people. And Philemon loved people, and they demonstrated that love towards the people in their church and in their home. Interesting. Do you ever pray that? Do you ever pray, verse 4 and 5, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints? What a good thing to pray for. And let's do this now. Let's turn to our outline. New Millennium Ministry, the greatest part, some initial observations. Verse 5. This is really 1 through 5, but verse 5. Do you love people? Do you love people? It's interesting, and Paul expresses that he prays for them, and that certainly is a part of this, but more what comes out in verse 4 and 5 is their love for people. And he mentions this to them, and points it out as a key quality in their life. John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said those words. 1 John 3, 18, my little children, let us not love in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. Do you love people? an initial observation as we look at working with people. Do you love them? Sometimes that's pretty hard to do. It just is. And sometimes it can be very frustrating. But in this case, and this is so good that he emphasizes this as this letter is given to him, and he's wondering, who wrote this letter? Well, he would know that, wouldn't he? Because an ancient letter started out with the author, and instead of in our letters, when they're written today, it's at the end, but in an ancient letter, it was at the beginning. So he knew. Philemon, you wonder, and Paul, I haven't heard from a while, so good to hear from you. And he gets through these first five verses, and he's, wow, what's Paul writing to me about? I'm anxious. And look at verse 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in faith in Christ. Verse 6, what do you pray for? Now, it's interesting. Now I'm getting to the subject of, first of all, there's love, and clearly in here we have Paul praying for him, that you'll share your faith. That you'll, you know, this must have been a very evangelistic church. And it's about God. It's about reaching out, and it's about telling people. And we need to be an evangelistic church. That we need to pray, and then we need to go forward and share, and share the gospel, and let people know this. Verse 7, your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Wow, you have refreshed. Philemon, this is Paul, and in writing to you, there's things I want to share with you, but one of them that is key is that you refresh my spirit. You encourage me. You help me. You support me. Being around you is like a fresh breath, a cool wind on a hot day. We've had some really hot days here recently. But it's like that. A cool breeze, a refresher. And Philemon had this amazing quality in his life. And let's pick up on that. Let's look now on your outline. New Millennium Ministry, the greatest part, some initial observation. Second one is, are you a refresher to people? Are you a refresher to people? Are they built up? Are they encouraged? It's just kind of like, it's so nice to have them around because it's good and it's nice and it's supportive and caring. Or on the other side, are you a drainer where you just suck the life out of everything you come in contact with? Some of you may look a little guilty here. You suck the life out of every conversation you have. Is it always about you? Is it always about what you want? Are you a refresher to people? And we know that clearly Philemon had this. And as we talk about developing New Millennium Ministry, it has to do with people. It's all about people. Do you love them? Are you refreshed by them, or do you refresh people? The key is, it's going to be about you, or is it going to be about others? Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. He was a refresher. Okay, that's the second part of this. All right, so now let's put ourselves back in the context here of what's going on. And he's read these first seven verses, and it's been good. Love people. You refresh people. What's coming? Let's see. Verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold, and order you what, and order you to do what you ought to do. Wow, that is a transition, isn't it? Now we're making a transition. I could be bold. I could order you what to do. Well, what's the situation? Well, we'll get there in just a minute. I could order you or tell you what to do. Why could he do this? Because he was an apostle. And he had authority. And he could have stepped into this situation and dictated what needed to be done. This is Paul, near the end of his life. He could have done these things. But it's amazing. He says, you know what? I could be bold. I could demonstrate my authority. But I'm not going to do that in this case. Let's look at verse 9. Yet, I appeal to you on the basis of love. He knows about Philemon, and he knows Philemon's heart. At this point, Paul's probably 60. He's an older man, and he's trying to have Philemon he's trying to appeal to Philemon in love. I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He says, you know, look how he just backs away and says, I'm a prisoner, I'm an old man, and I'm appealing to you in our common ground, in Jesus Christ. That's what I'm appealing to you on. All right? Wow. You kind of leave it there for a moment, and you're thinking, all right, what's happening here? Let's look at this. Verse 10. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Oh, what's the reaction? Well, we're not sure. There could be a couple of words that come to the mind of Philemon. Thief. Robber. Responsibilities that he would do, and now I've had to hire somebody else to do, and he's cost me quite a lot. Now, who knows what that name did to him, but I'm sure there were mixed reactions to that name being mentioned. And Paul, you know I'm Onesimus? Yes, and it must have been interesting at some point as they had a longer conversation about this. Look at verse 10. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Son. Became a follower of Jesus Christ, just like you, Philemon. Just like you in your walk with God. He became a son to you. I appeal to you for Onesimus. Now, it is possible, and I'm not sure, there are some that believe this, and it could be, that Onesimus delivered this message. Well, we're not sure. Although I think Philemon would have recognized him. Maybe it was, or maybe he was disguised. I don't know, had something around his face or something, so he couldn't be identified. We're just not sure. But you can imagine, let's say if he was in disguise or something like that, that his poor knees, Onesimus' knees, are knocking by now, and it's like shaking. Like, oh my goodness, because he knew what would happen to a runaway slave and what could potentially happen and what Philemon might do. All right, verses 8, 9, and 10. Another New Millennium Ministry, the greatest part, an initial observation. Verse 9, how do you approach people? How do you approach people? This can be difficult. It can be really difficult. Let me ask you, though. You come on as strong, overbearing, insensitive. Oh, that can't be you, can it? Sure, at times there are. Do you try and dictate to get your way? Are you overbearing? Is it always about you? Is it about what you want and everybody's got to know about it? How do you approach people? Boy, how much better Paul's way? How much better is Paul's way? He had the authority. He had the credentials. He had it all, and he could have come on strong and heavy and said, forgive him, restore him, and that's the end of that. No, he didn't. He appealed to Philemon. He asked Philemon. Wow. New Millennium Ministry. Perhaps you've acted differently than that. Especially initially. I think initially, as I see Paul's appeal here. Now, there may be a time we get beyond that initial conversation that it may need to be a little more pointed, strong. But initially, why not? But it's your choice. But as I see a man growing in his faith, and we see Paul through his lifetime, and he could be strong, he could be, you know, he was just right up there in your face, kind of guy. He had that potential. But at this point, he's developed so many things in his life because of the cause of Christ that he appeals this way. Look at verse 11. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. Formerly, he was useless to you. He was a slave. Might have been a good slave, might not have been a good slave. We don't know. But he was useless in the sense that he could really serve the gospel of Christ. He didn't know Christ at that point. But when Paul led him to Christ and he became a follower, he became useful. Not only to Paul, but also to the larger body of Christ. Verse 11. Wow. Think about this, what's going on in a situation. Onesimus is wrong. You've got him. You've got him nailed to the wall, so to speak. Paul steps in. Paul does a couple of amazing things in this little chapter. He reminds Philemon, you love people. He says, you're such a refresher to people, and I'm going to approach you as a humble man and get involved in a pretty sticky situation, a pretty difficult one for the gospel's sake. All right, on your outline then, we've gone through a couple of observations. Let me just take you to, the key thought of maybe these first 11 verses. Doing New Millennium Ministry, the greatest part is to get, and then you're going to fill this in, personally involved. The greatest part is to get personally involved in church, in a ministry, in the lives of people. Oh my goodness, this can be difficult, this can be hard. There can be times when you just don't want to do this. But Paul does this and gets involved, and we have this little book in the New Testament, and the key focus of this is Paul stepping in, getting involved, and helping. Man, I see this all the time by people in church. You know, as leadership, we have to get involved in some sticky things and deal with some things. But let's not talk about leadership. Let's just talk about you as a church attender and member. There's going to be times you need to get personally involved, that it involves your time, your energy, and your effort. And our idea is to help you, to encourage you, hopefully to model some very positive things. But you're going to have to get personally involved in people's lives. There's no way you're going to do the ministry of Christ without getting involved in some difficult stuff. And most of it could be involved with people. And getting involved in their lives and trying to help them, reconcile them, to work with them. And sometimes it just feels like a no-win situation. And sometimes it's such a complicated problem that it just goes well beyond all of us. Get personally involved. Now, you need to be wise in the situations and maybe choose certain things, but always asking for wisdom from leaders that you know and respect when you have to get involved, and maybe having their help in addition to that. Amen? Amen. Last thing on your outline, New Millennium Ministry begins with participation. You cannot say you're involved in the gospel, serving God, unless you're in there involved with your participation. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this passage. Thank you for the encouragement we can get from this section. Thank you for your guidance and your direction in giving us this little book, tucked away one page and yet full of principle to help us be faithful in our walk with God. Help us to honor you with participation in ministry in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.